Shane McGachran.
Hey, this is Issa from Slow Crash. I'm hanging out with Dave and Shane. Hope you like what you hear.
Gentlemen, we are back with you, and we are going international, well, yet again, on the Rock of Nations to Belgium. How cool is this, Brother Shane? Slow Crush. Oh, yeah, that is some magical crushing. Slow crushing, but fast crushing at the same time. Slow Crush and Glow right there.
I love this song, dude.
Oh, my God. Shoegaze all the way, and I just, you know, I love them. Out of Belgium, I love them, and they're just, they're heavy and musical, and so much is going on, yeah. You know? Just awesome, Brother
Shane. And there's a lot to say here, too, because this song, when we talked to Issa Holiday several months ago, this song only had maybe 100,000 plays. Mm. Right now, it's at 1.5 million.
Which is insane, right?
So this is their biggest single right now, their biggest track,
yeah,
off the album Hush, which we just absolutely love, and love this band. I mean, yeah. they've been working at this for quite a while. 2017, their debut album Aurora came out in 2018,
and it was just exploded.
Yeah,
and she says in the interview they weren't expecting that.
No,
so cool.
They've been gone and gone and now it's finally paying off.
Yep.
And I like them because I'm a big shoegaze fan, as we know. We've talked about
Yeah, you
about
got
this.
Me into it, yeah.
And I'm so glad that we got this band, you know, we got to talk to her. We talked to her before the U.S. tour. The U.S. tour is over. They've gone back to Europe.
Yep.
And now they're killing it over there. They're in the U.K.
Yep, Glasgow, Leeds, Nottingham, Cardiff, many other places going through Birmingham and all the way through July and moving on from there.
They're doing what a lot of bands are doing, these mini tours, because, you know, we still don't know where things may be. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Even though things have been on the up and up now for several months. But they're hitting France and Spain in the fall with Death Heaven, a huge, huge band. Really
a great bill.
They have a phenomenal, their record is from last year is absolutely one, it was like one of my top records of the year. And they're on tour together, and that's just going to be an incredible bill right there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, well, yeah, two great bands playing live, and they're huge over there, right? Well, they're huge all over, but like shoegaze in particular in Europe is just massive, isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah.
And they played Philly. They were at Philly, I think it was the Fillmore, and they just, from what I've read and stuff, they absolutely killed it. We were unable to make it due to other stuff that was going on because we're busy guys.
Yeah, yeah. Can't go to every show.
It was killing us because we both wanted to go.
Yeah,
very bad. But I gotta say, like, Slow Crush is looking like they're the future of shoegaze. They really are.
The way they're blowing up right now, and just so quickly, so fast, and they're working on new music too, and they're so creative. It's awesome to see them riding that wave, you know. Yeah. And then Blue and Billow, those tracks. I mean, there's something really special happening there.
Yeah. I'm hoping that after this tour, they're going to go back in the studio. It sounds like it because they've been ping-ponging. They've been working their butts off, and they've been ping-ponging back between studios and tours and studios for the last 5 years, you know. They're a four-piece, and you've talked about this quite a bit, this double, you know, dual guitar attack.
Yeah.
Just the vocals are buried, but it just has this, you know, incredible sound that's just coming up from within.
Yeah, the guitar is just soaring like lightning. Yeah, really. I mean, it just
and then the bass coming in there too, and just the drumming is so it's almost like a metallic, like a metal style drummer, but not, you know, I think, mm-hmm. you know, like, and it just works. It all blends perfectly, you know?
And one of the things that was most interesting about this interview, because I couldn't wait to ask the shoegaze question, they don't draw a lot from shoegaze.
Right.
A lot of the stuff that they're into, it's not that, and they respect it, but I think that's why they have such a unique sound, is because they're trying to do their own thing
right.
without sounding like everybody else.
Yeah, it was really interesting to hear that because, you know, there's some bluesy influences in there, I think, mm-hmm. if I remember correctly, and there's also, and there's so many, there's different styles, you know, and yeah. so they, but they do, like you said, to your point, they do their own thing, put their spin on it, and this is what comes out, and it's awesome. It's unique, you know, because usually you think, you know, if you're a band that sounds like a 70s classic rock, you know, that those were your influences. But, you know, this is something that's completely different. And I love that when you can hear, and you can hear it in there, especially in the melody, the melodic structures, you know.
Yeah. It was a wonderful interview. Told us basically everything from the beginnings of this band
yep.
up until how they met, how they composed. We got to talk a lot about both records, and how excited she was to go on this tour.
Yeah, and the fans, and just how fired up they are. I mean, the fans and connecting with their fans and that shared experience, that live experience, I mean, nothing like it.
Yeah, 1.5 million. So yeah. the song's on something. It's on a soundtrack or something.
Right.
Because this thing is just blowing up. Their other songs are probably about half of that.
Right. Like Drift and Swoon
yeah.
are, yeah, definitely half of that, but... Glow is just it's amazing. Yeah.
yeah.
It's huge.
So we're not going to waste any time here. We came in hard with Glow, mm-hmm. which is probably my favorite track that they've done so far.
Right.
I just go to that one more and more.
So we got to go out big as well. And we're going out with
Nice and Slow,
Tremble.
Hi
there,
this is Steve Hackett.
Hey
folks,
this is Rick
Emmett
of Triumph, and we're talking rock with Dave and Shane.
Isa, thank you so much for joining us. Slow Crush is the band, and of course, we've got two new tracks out there, of course, Billow and of course, Blue. And so you have so many different sounds, and it's awesome the different soundscapes you create. First, what's going on? You're over in Belgium, is that right?
That is correct, yep.
What time is it over there and what's happening over there now?
It's 7:30. What's happening? It's a Sunday, so nothing's happening.
yeah, right.
Pretty much. In Europe, everything shuts down on
that's right.
on Sundays. So yeah, it's a day of relaxing or nice. Not seeing as we're leaving on tour on Wednesday. So it's a day of panic packing and,
okay.
and making sure that whatever we leave behind isn't going to rot in the fridge. Yeah.
you're opening up your tour in Brooklyn. Tell us about, I mean, how are you feeling coming to the States again and playing some of this new stuff you have?
Well, playing the new stuff is exciting wherever we play it, I guess, seeing as it's been so long. We've had a couple of shows since the pandemic. Being able to travel further than just across the border to the Netherlands is exciting. It'll be an adventure for sure with all of the testing and everything else that it takes nowadays to get on a plane. We're really, really excited to hit the US and it's going to be a long one. So we hope we don't kill each other by the end of it.
Good for you. What has, I guess, touring been like for you guys in the last 2 years? Like, are you just playing locally? Were you just, like you said, going to the Netherlands to play an odd show here and there?
Yeah, so we were supposed to do a big European tour right now, probably. but we had to kind of make a decision at the beginning of the year, also because we were going to tour with our friends Grivo from Texas. And so, yeah, it was supposed to kick off like at the end of February, beginning of March. And it was just so uncertain at the time. So we had to unfortunately make the call to cancel the majority of those shows. We kept like the Benelux shows still in there just because, yeah, it's a lot easier to sort of just cross one border as opposed to multiple borders and then not know if you can still get back home or not, or if you're gonna have to just like haul out somewhere in the middle of nowhere until you can cross another border again. For Grivo to travel all the way over to Europe, it was just, yeah, we just weren't certain that it would be the right decision to make. Plus the tour would have ended without enough time for us to safely quarantine before boarding a flight to the US. So yeah. Apart from that, the shows that we did do, they were really great. So we played Paris and a few shows in the Netherlands. Paris was like packed. It was insane and insanely scary after 2 years of not seeing anyone to be in such a crowded room. But it was great. It was great to have that energy again. I think everyone was just like really happy to just be able to do their thing and just like enjoy themselves. And that energy really kind of came to us on stage and we gave it our all. So we just hope that we're not gonna let you guys down in the States and that you give us that same energy so that we can give it all back.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Well, Shoegaze is so, you know, and Shane, I have to credit Shane for turning me onto it some years ago because it's unlike anything. I mean, it's there's such an ambience and there's such an energy and rawness and so many emotions. And I wonder, I've become a really big fan of it thanks to our vinyl master friend Shane there. And I'm just wondering, like, what's the scene like in Europe? Does it vary from nation to nation over there? Because I know the fans are just nuts for it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it certainly is big and probably more so in the UK because that's sort of where it originated. Belgium's weird. I don't know. Belgium, it seems that people are a little bit more cool and collected and they don't tend to sort of, let themselves go as much. Maybe we're just all sort of worker bees and we just sort of focus on the 9 to 5 and can't really let go as much as in the UK or in the US. But it's crazy that the majority of our fans are out in the US, so far from home. I don't know. But
yeah.
Not,
I was
not
just curious.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I guess there's a reason why industrial music kind of started in Belgium.
Yeah.
In a way with the EDM and stuff like that. What's the music scene like where you're from? Just where you, is death metal big? Is black metal big? Shoegaze?
Yeah, I mean, they're there's like there's a band called called Amun Ra. Like they've sort of built their own kind of cult, I suppose. I don't know what you would classify them as, but I don't know. It's just sort of emotional, grasping sort of metal, or I don't know. I don't know how to describe them, but they've just sort of built this whole scene up from themselves. And their growth has been really organic. And I think that is something that that does tend to sort of capture people. So in Belgium, they're really huge, as they are elsewhere. Otherwise in Belgium, I think the majority of music listeners are sort of radio listeners. And so whatever the radio plays, then people go along with it. and I mean it's good that like they do sort of, you know, these sort of contests and stuff to get young musicians sort of the support that they need to start up and give them sort of a boost and stuff, and then that's all that plays at the festivals. So I mean it's great, but this more out there.
There is,
including you know, the new album is Hush, and we were checking out Billow, and what's interesting is you say here it actually almost did not make the cut because it didn't quite fit the flow of the album and the story. Tell us about the track, but really tell us about the story of the album too and how it all fits together.
Well, we feel that the album has an emotional flow. It is a little bit more introverted
mm-hmm.
introverted than the previous album Aurora, and that is really the reason why we felt that Billow was a bit too out there, I suppose, in comparison with the other tracks. But it was meant to go on the album after Blue, so it just made sense for us to bring it out together as a B-side to Blue. And we feel that those two tracks, they work really, really well together, but having Billow on the album would have made too much of a leap, to kind of be brought back into that sort of, melancholic, atmosphere that the rest of the album creates. So, it's not that we don't like the track. I know that it was a really fun one for us to record. I know that I was cracking up after every line that I had to sing. So I don't know if that's a good thing. we like it, but it just didn't make it. Sorry.
That's okay. Well,
yeah, it's all right.
At least it's out there. So that's what's important. And I guess nowadays with digital music, I think younger people really aren't as interested in the album per se. What's your take on, you know, still making records and still you know, putting projects together that have a common theme running through them?
I think it's important to still have that, because it is something like you can bring out track after track after track, but if there's no thread that joins them together, then you might as well just release a load of singles. But I think to have something that you can hold as a physical copy as well, it does give that an extra sort of connection to the listener, to hear it from start to finish and to go along this journey that the musician created and intended you to sort of partake. It's like watching a movie. You wouldn't watch a movie if it was just cut into scenes and then randomly put together. Then you just watch like a sitcom series or something, I don't know. But I mean, to each his own. I know like a lot of people out there like to put stuff on shuffle still. I know that when we were young and still listening to CDs, then we would do the same. So but I think with vinyl, you just can't do that. And that does that has its own sort of its own character, it's nice to be able to just sit down and listen intently with full focus.
Acclaim had such Aurora had such critical acclaim to it, and I'm just wondering, like, the sophomore efforts are always, can be a real mind play for some artists. You know, was it there a pressure? Was there a nervousness in going into this second record after having such a well received nature and for Aurora?
Yeah, it was weird. I mean, that came out of nowhere. We went into recording Aurora just as, a bunch of friends, and we wanted to sort of put these songs down that we'd been sort of jamming around with. So we brought it out with no kind of real, goal, but I mean, yeah, we thought, okay, we'll bring it out and we'll see if people like it. And then it just went exponential. that people were just commenting on it and really digging it, so that was great, and it is nerve-wracking to have to follow that up, but the way that we write songs and the way that we record them, it is something that we do from the heart, so we didn't go into it with the intent of just repeating what we did with Aurora. You have the similarities and the soundscapes that you can hear between the two, but we feel that this the step that we made from Hush to Hush was you can see a growth in the band, and you can see an evolution. So I think that's something that we do feel is important, because if you repeat yourself, then I don't know, is that really going to keep it interesting for the listener? Right. Is it going to keep it interesting for yourself as a musician? So that's just the step that we made. And I think Hush being a little bit more depressing, if that's the right word, I don't know. I think it accurately sort of describes the feelings and emotions that we all possibly felt during the whole lockdown period. And it just made more sense to us to bring that kind of music out to the world than just repeat Aurora.
Now, what the first song I heard from you guys was Sway, and then you guys, like, with the new album with like Ease and stuff, you're as you said, you're evolving. How does an artist how do you try to evolve without completely changing your sound up and losing that core audience? Is that tricky?
I don't know. Well, my voice isn't going to change. I'm not going to start screaming or anything. So that's certainly going to be a common thread. And although the pedals on our boards may change every show that we play, there is that sort of core Slow Crush sound that can be heard throughout. We made our own pedal even. So
I know you did, yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah.
I think that is something that does kind of keep us sort of grounded in the fact that effects will always be involved. It just depends how crazy they'll get at one point. But I don't know. I think no matter what style what genre we might evolve in, there will still be something that can be heard that does have a continuality to it. I don't know. I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah, it does. Dave, I just got to ask this, because I was reading about this, the Glow Fuzz pedal you guys made. There was another band that we talked to within the past year, A Place to Bury Strangers, and Oliver Ackerman is a big, he has Death by Audio, which is a pedal manufacturer, which I'm sure you guys have at least one or two of those in your arsenal.
I think so. What is that? I'm just a simple bass player. I have like a tuner and a couple of other things. But,
was that something the guys were like, hey, this is a really cool idea. Let's make our own pedal just because, you know, we can.
Well, it didn't actually stem from that. It really stemmed from the fact that Yella, the big guy, he was looking for a particular sound that he wanted for Aurora. And he just couldn't find it. So the sound that he was trying to kind of to mimic was the pedal that that Billy Corgan used for, okay, for the majority of their recordings. So the Screddy Mayo. So he asked a friend of ours who's a pedal builder, he asked him to kind of replicate that with a few sort of finishing touches to kind of add that slow crush sound. And so, yeah, we had that made before recording Aurora, and then people just kept on asking, yeah, how do you get that sound and what kind of pedals do you use? And we're like, well, we've made this one. And we just got so many people asking about it that we thought, okay, well, why don't we see if we can make a few? And I think we started at like 20 or something, and they sold out in like 2 minutes. So we thought, okay, well, yeah, we'll ask Werner if he can make a couple more. And then they sold out. And so at the end, we made 100, I think, in total. So there are 100 lucky people out there jamming a glowfuzz pedal. But now I think we have to stop. Otherwise, Werner will kill us. But yeah, that's not to say that there may be other slow crush pedals in the future, but for now, no more glowfuzz.
As a bassist, do you there's already sort of the dynamic of supporting the melody, obviously, that the guitars and everything that they create, but when you're talking about so many different sounds and effects, does that challenge you even more as a bassist to kind of groove along and support all of those sounds and soundscapes?
Well, I think me and the drummer Freddie, we try to sort of keep the rhythm section going. We tend to sort of look at each other as well when the other guys are talking about effects and pedals and all this technical stuff, and we're like, we'll just stick to the rhythm. I think, yeah, that is really the driving force of the bass, really, the rhythm and the depth and the crunch. So in terms of melody, I think, yeah, I try to complement what the guitars are doing, but then without losing that sort of rhythmic drone or drive along with the drums. So
cool.
We have to ask this because it's like, I think it's mandatory, isn't it, Dave? I'm a huge shoegaze fan. I've been since like, gosh, 90, 91. Who are your influences? Who are the bands that you first heard that you were just like, wow, this is what I like?
Oh, that's a hard one, because
I know it is.
I mean, there's just so many. One, yeah.
So many.
Yeah, and to be perfectly honest, I don't think our influences come from shoegaze, really.
Wow.
So I mean, the guys and I, we've been playing together for years and years and years, in many different forms. Our first drummer, Steva, Yella and I, we were playing in like hardcore bands together with our current other guitar player, Jerry. And yeah, that was like old school hardcore that we were playing. And I think that you can also hear a bit of that in Aurora, especially, I think. And yeah, in terms of what really inspired us to start Slow Crush was perhaps Pity Sex. I don't know. And then, like I say, the evolution, it comes from a lot of different things, not even necessarily musically, but like, I don't know, what's it? Like we heard an ice cream truck pass by, and that sort of inspired us to recreate that sound and sort of, yeah, write a song on that on a stupid ice cream truck. So yeah, inspiration can come from everywhere, not particularly from a specific band, but maybe like a combination of different music, different bands and different genres that we all listen to. Because we don't particularly stick to one genre on a playlist in the bus. We can be listening to 80s pop and then throw in like heavy metal and then go into some EDM. No, maybe not EDM, but just like sort of, I don't know, like, yeah, loungy dance stuff. Or yeah, it's a bit of a mixed bag.
It's good. Like that's, what's it?
No, I said that's good. That's the way it should be. That's,
yeah.
has there been anything that you've heard from bands like Curve and Ride and Slow Dive and stuff that really appeal to you now that you've kind of found your own sound and you're doing your thing?
I mean, right? Of course, those bands are all fantastic. And I know that we get compared a lot to Slow Dive, but I don't know if that's just because of the slow part of our name that the same, or the fact that there's like female vocals and heavy guitars and stuff. I don't know. But I think there is much more to Slow Crush than just one particular genre. There's a lot of post-rock as well that goes on there. And yeah, just a lot of emotions that might not be so typical of other shoegaze bands, just because there is such a huge combination of different styles and stuff that go into us and then come out in our music. So
looks like you're in a pretty creative space there. I mean, I see like there's a lot of sunlight coming through. I think some guitars on the wall, some plants. Is that the studio you all work in, or is that just one of the spaces where you get your inspiration?
This is my living room.
Okay, which, lovely.
That's my cool office back there.
Okay, very nice. Cool. Nice.
Yeah, this is just my house.
Okay, just curious. That's cool.
nothing exciting.
you were kind of going into this a little bit earlier, but tell us about like the origins of the band. I mean, just, you know, like when you first started, when you first met, when you first came together and started building out, you know, all you do.
Huh, where to start? High school.
Okay.
So yeah, all of the guys went to the same high school. I went to a British school. So a completely different school to theirs, but I think I met them maybe at the supermarket across from my school. And yeah, a friend of mine, she had known our first drummer just by seeing him at a festival, and then they met on a bus randomly. And then he invited her to a show, and she invited me, and then they were looking for a bass player, and my friend was like, oh, Issa plays bass. So that's how it all started.
Nice. Okay.
And then so many years later, we're still doing it.
Pretty cool. Very cool.
Zura, yeah. Do you have like a favorite club in Belgium that you like to play? Is there a scene based around a club over there? Like the DNA club used to be a big deal.
Oh, the DNA.
Is that still around?
I don't know. It's been too
going
long.
Back.
Yeah.
I'm dating myself here.
So. Have you been?
No, I always wanted to go there because I know that's where a lot of like the guys in Front 242 and a lot of the bands we never knew how to pronounce from over there, like a groom. I never knew how to say that one. But there was always a really cool scene that we heard about in Belgium, and I just never got to make it there. So I don't know if it's still around or not.
I don't think it is. I think a couple of years ago it sort of changed ownership, and and then I don't know if it survived COVID even. So, but yeah, it used to be a great place to hang out. That's where I also hung out as a teenager.
very cool.
But yeah, unfortunately, we've never played there. Like the place that we recorded the live stream session, the Ancien Belgique, that's a really huge club, and it was crazy to be able to play there, even though there was nobody there when we were recording the live stream. But that's where I think all of us who have seen like huge bands before. And then the Botanique, that's a really nice club. It is in a botanical garden setting, so it's just a really beautiful building with really nice surroundings. So yeah, that's where we played, I think, our first release show for Hush, in a really, really cool, it's a venue called the Rotonda, which is a circle. And so it's just a circular hall with wooden flooring everywhere. So it's really kind of cozy and warm. And yeah, it was really great to be able to play there for the first time, bringing Hush songs. So
nice.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you if there's a venue that stands out, you know, like when you first played it and you were like, wow, this is it, you know, like this is real, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think for me personally, yeah, that would have been the Ancien Belgique, or maybe the Botanique even more, just because they've got kind of Hollywood stars on the floor, and then see all these bands, it's like, oh my God, that's where I went to my first show. And all these memories kind of come flooding back. And just because it is such an iconic venue in the heart of Brussels, that is just really beautiful to play in. So, yeah.
Cool.
The new album, Hush, deals with, what would you say this album kind of deals with? Is it kind of, is it an expression about what we've all been dealing with, you know, in the world for the last 2 years? Or did you kind of stay away from that? Or you just, like you said, about an ice cream truck, you know?
Yeah, the ice cream truck still to come. But but yeah, I think it is a sort of introspective album. I think like the emotions that can be felt through it are sort of, yeah, the loneliness and sort of solitude that we were all sort of facing at the beginning. When we went into the studio, it was like one of the small windows between lockdowns that we were allowed to go in, that we were allowed to sort of see other people and work on something together. So I think it just encapsulates the time perfectly of what everyone was going through, and yeah, the time that we were recording as well. So it is just a little capsule of COVID grief, which we can hopefully all put behind us pretty soon.
Yeah. April 8th, you'll be at the Knitting Factory in Brooklyn, and then looks like Sonia in Cambridge, Massachusetts. So April 8th, April 9th. So you'll be busy, really hitting the touring circuit April and May. Is this probably the most extensive tour you've done so far, or is this pretty much about the same?
Yeah, it will be. 2 months on the road almost. It's huge. I'm gonna miss my cats. But yeah, it's, I think like we've been to the States twice before. Once, like the first time we hit the West Coast, and then just before lockdown we managed to do the East Coast, and we managed to make it home before the world went to shit. So now we're just gonna do everything. So we just make up for the 2 years that we've been sitting still, and just do a big loop through the US, hit some places in Canada while we're there, we might as well, and then come home and tour some of Europe. So
nice.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, I love it. Cool.
Well, welcome ahead of time. Yeah, I the Knitting Factory is quite a big deal. So have you played there before?
We have not. Where did we play last time in Brooklyn? It's gone. But okay. That was a really cool venue.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we haven't been to the Knitting Factory. So yeah, we're really excited to be able to play there and yeah, just be back in Brooklyn, because the last place we played, it was sold out. So we hope that people who saw us back then or new fans, that they all get together and come see us there. So
awesome. Very Very cool. April 8th, is that showing? Yeah, so April and May, and check out Slow Crush, the website, of course, and get in on those tour dates. Anything you'd like to add at all before we go?
Not really, except thank you very much for having me. And thank you for putting up with me on your Sunday afternoon.
It's our pleasure.
It's our pleasure. Yeah, it's been wonderful. This is awesome.
Yeah, I can't wait to pick up some of your records. And I saw you're on your fifth press of Aurora, which is amazing. You know, from you guys were just messing around and here we go.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, it's insane. It's insane. And Hush is also onto its second press after, how long has it been out? Maybe 6 months. So
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Very right cool. on. That's awesome.
Congratulations.
Thank yep. you.
Issa, have thank a safe you so much. Tour.
Thank you, and hope to see you somewhere along the way.
Awesome.
Yeah!